Just want to first of all say tonight, I thank God it's well with my soul. I haven't in the past been able to say that. I know I still got a long way to go. I'm not where I ought to be, but I am facing in that direction and I am taking steps to get there. I think we all can say that in our own hearts and minds. We are not where we ought to be, but I hope we can all say that we are striving to cross that line. If you would, tonight, look in the Word of God, the book of Acts. I want to read a few verses here and then try to bring you what I feel like the Lord's laid on my heart. The book of Acts, chapter number 4. Want to begin reading in verse number 8. Acts 4 and verse number 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before ye whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took no knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And behold, the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no farther among the people, let us straitly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But when Peter and John answered and said unto them, Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people, for all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old on whom the miracle of healing was showed. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had done unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hath made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David hath said, Why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that all thy boldness may be that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Heavenly Father, I stand here in desperate need of you tonight. Father, I beg you and I plead with you, Father, to help me, Lord, with this word that you have placed in my heart. Lord, I realize that these words that I have just read, Lord, they are from the Word of God, Thy Word. And Father, I pray that may the Holy Spirit of God take these words and speak to our hearts tonight. May that same Holy Spirit anoint me and use me and help me, Lord, to preach the blessed Word of God. And Father, may that same Holy Spirit move among these people here tonight. Speak to their hearts. Meet their needs. Help us all, Lord, to glorify you. And we'll praise you in the blessed name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. I want you to notice in verse number 31, the Bible says, "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness." I want to speak to you for just a little while tonight on the Holy Ghost and the Word of God. Inseparable companions. You cannot separate the Word of God from the Holy Spirit. You cannot separate the Spirit of God from the Word of God. I remember years ago when we were growing up, my sister and Shirley's sister were inseparable companions. Where you saw one of them, you saw the other. And I'm sure probably most of us can look back in our past and we can remember friends that we used to have. That whenever you saw one of them, you saw the other. You look back in the Old Testament, you see David and you see Jonathan, how they were inseparable companions. And we look in the we look in the Word of God. And every time you come across here in the New Testament where it talks about being filled with the Spirit of God, it's always in contact with the proclaiming, the preaching, and prophesying of the Word of God. You cannot separate the Word of God from the Spirit of God. In the book of Luke, chapter number 1, in verse 41 and 42, the Bible says, "And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost, and she spake out with a loud voice." She was filled with the Holy Spirit of God, therefore she spoke the Word of God. In Luke chapter 1, in verse 67, "And his father," talking about John the Baptist's father, Zacharias, "was filled with the Holy Ghost, and he prophesied." In Acts chapter 2, in verse 4, the Word of God says that they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak with other tongues. They began to speak the Word of God. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 8, Peter was filled with the Holy Ghost, and he said unto them, he was speaking the Word of God unto those people. Here in verse 31 that I've just read, the text verse, we see how the Holy Ghost and the Word of God is inseparable. In Acts chapter 9 and verse 17, we're talking about Paul here, and he filled with the Holy Ghost, and that's in verse 17, and then just after that in verse 20, he straightway preached Christ. You cannot separate the Word of God from the Holy Spirit of God. In chapter 13, and in verse number 9, Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on them and said, the Word of God and the Holy Ghost of God cannot be separated. Acts chapter number 13 and verse 52, and the disciples were filled with joy and the Holy Ghost. In the next chapter, in verse 1, it says, they went together into the synagogue of the Jews and so spake, preaching of the Word of God. You cannot separate the blessed Word of God from the Spirit of God. And as I read here in these first chapters of the book of Acts, I see how God, using the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, began to build the church of God as we know it today. And as we look about this world today and we look at the churches today, there's a vast difference between that church and the church of this day and time. Why is that? Because the Holy Ghost of God and the Word of God has been taken out of the house of God in this day and time in which we live. I mean,
just take the Word of God. I mean, the Word of God, they've taken it and they still have the Word of God, but they have their own version. They've taken the Word of God and watered it down to meet their own needs, to make it say what they want it to say. They've taken the Word of God out of our homes today. They've taken it out of our hearts today. They've taken it out of the hymns that we sing today. I mean, brother, we cannot function in this day and time without the Holy Ghost and the Word of God. It's through this blessed Word of God, inspired by the Holy Spirit of God, that we're able to be a child of God and a witness of God. If you run across, I remember years ago when I still do. I love to read. And I don't know if you remember the Hardy Boys or not. But I read the Hardy Boys over and over and over. And there must have been 50 or 60 of them in the series. And I probably read every one of them 3 times apiece. But if you ever found Frank and Joe wasn't there, something was wrong. If you ever run across Joe and Frank wasn't there, there was something wrong. And in this world today, if we're going through this world today and we run across the Holy Spirit and the Word of God is not present, something is wrong. In Acts chapter 2 and verse number 8, the Bible in verse number 4, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. I want you to notice something right here. I believe the Lord showed me. Brother Tommy, when you come in here on Sunday morning or Sunday evening or Wednesday and you're preaching the Word of God, you're preaching in a language that this world don't understand. It's another tongue to them. It's an unknown language to them. And the only way they're going to understand what you're preaching is for the Holy Ghost of God to reveal it to them. When I go down to the truck stop here on Sunday morning, when I preach from the Word of God, I'm preaching to a people that don't understand what I'm saying. It takes the Holy Ghost of God. If God don't inspire this Word into my heart before I get up here and preach it, it's not going to do you a bit of good. And if I preach the Word of God to you and the Holy Ghost doesn't inspire it to your heart, yeah, I'm no more than a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. We need the Holy Ghost of God inspiring the Word of God to be able to get the job done. All through the Bible we see where the Holy Spirit of God and the Word of God is bound. You cannot separate them. That's exactly what the devil wants done in this day and time in which we live. He wants it separated. If he can't separate it, he wants it watered down. What's wrong with our church today? What's wrong with the church in 2013? The Holy Spirit of God has been pushed on the outside. There is so much going on in the name of religion today. And I forgot what book I was reading. I read the book Heaven's Throne Gift by James Stewart. And then I read this one I've got here with me, Spirit-Empowered Preaching by Arturo Azurdia. And I'm reading a book right now called The Works of the Holy Spirit by Abraham Kuyper. But I read where they was given an illustration of this church. They come to have church and the Holy Spirit was nowhere around. But they sang their songs, and they had their time, and they worshiped, and they carried on, and they left the house of God, not knowing the Holy Spirit had never even showed up, but they felt good in themselves because they had had a good time. And then another church, they come to church to worship, and the Holy Spirit of God didn't show up. But these people realized that. They realized that God wasn't there, and they began to search their own hearts to try to find out what it was that the Holy Spirit didn't come in. There's a difference in the way we conduct church services today. We have so many today that the Holy Ghost is not within 100 miles of the services that's going on. And I'm going to tell you something. We need Him here. We need the Holy Ghost here. We haven't arrived yet. We are a long way from being the church that we see here in these first books of Acts, the first chapters of the book of Acts. Why is the Holy Ghost not here? Why is the Holy Ghost missing in most churches today? It's because He has no room in the place, in the house of God today. We have brought the world into the churches today. We have made the churches into entertainment centers today. People want to be entertained. They want to feel like they've had a good time when they come to church. If they go back out these doors and they don't feel good about themselves, if their self-esteem hasn't been helped, then they haven't had a good service. It's not about our self-esteem. It's not about how we feel about ourselves. Folks, we need God back into our services. We need God back into our preaching. Why is the Holy Ghost not here? It's because so much of the world is in here and the Holy Ghost has been pushed on the outside. What does the Word of God tell us in the book of Revelation chapter 3? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man, woman, boy, or girl will hear my voice and open the door, I will come in unto them and sup with him and he with me, talking to the people of the church. Why won't we open the door? Most exterior doors, Brother Larry, open on the inside. Very few exterior doors will they open to the outside. The reason they can't get in is because there's so much junk in the churches today, the doors won't open. I tried my best to come up with an outline and I couldn't come up with one. I tried my best to try to find something to stay on track and I couldn't. I kept praying to God. I said, Lord, I don't know what to do with this. And it was almost as if He said, you're preaching on depending on the Holy Ghost. Just depend on me and I'll help you through it. I want you to notice what happens to a man of God, to a woman of God, to a child of God who gives their life to God. There is no better example, I don't believe, than Peter. I can relate to Peter. It's hard for me to relate to the Apostle Paul. He was so far above any of us. I believe if you want to see an image of God in a human being, a person that's Christ-like, that looks like Christ, you look at the Apostle Paul. I believe he came closer looking like the Lord than being on the face of this earth. But I can, to a certain extent, relate to Peter. I mean, Peter was a man that must have loved shoe polish. He was always sticking his foot in his mouth, just like most of us. Always getting his mouth in gear before he ever engaged his brain. The Lord Jesus. Look in Luke chapter 22. Luke 22 and verse number 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. The Lord Jesus told Simon, He said, Simon, Satan himself came to me and he asked me if he could just get a hold of you. If he could get a hold of you, he would turn you ever which way but loose. He would do with you just like he did with Job. He'd turn you up and shake you out. Now, I want you to notice here, the Bible does not say that the Lord told Satan, you can't have it. It doesn't say that. The Bible says, but I will pray for you. So what I see in here is, the devil done a number on Simon Peter. The Lord let the devil work on Simon Peter to bring Peter to the place where he could use Peter. And we see exactly what took place. The Lord went, Peter said in verse 33, he said unto him, Lord, I'm ready to go with thee both in the prison and the death. You see, the Bible tells us in the book of Romans chapter 12 in verse number 3, it says, we ought not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. We need to realize who we are and what we are made out of. We need to realize that we haven't arrived yet. Just because we're having a good day today doesn't mean the devil may not knock us off our block tomorrow. And the Lord told Peter, says, Peter, the devil has desired to have you to sift you as wheat. I mean, you know, when we used to make biscuits, you know, you had a flour sifter. You pour that flour over in that sifter and you turn the handle on it and sift all that flour out. And what was left in there, you threw it in the trash can. And that's exactly what God was going to allow to happen in Peter's life. He was going to have all of this stuff sifted out of his life where he could come to be a vessel of honor. A vessel that could be used by the Master. Peter was constantly living in the flesh. By the time he gave me a book by M.R. DeHaan called Simon Peter, Sinner and Saint. Simon was up one day and down another. He was in the flesh one day, he was in the spirit the next day. Does that sound familiar? He was a new creature. But he still had the old nature within him. And so do we. We must constantly be in dependence on the Holy Spirit of God or we will fall in a heartbeat. Simon Peter, the man that it shows us right here, denied our Lord three times. The Lord had warned him. He had warned him ahead of time that this was coming. But Peter went right on being Peter. And when they arrested the Lord Jesus, he followed them afar off. And he went inside there and he sat down by the fire. And these people began to say that you were with him. He denied it. He denied it three times. He kept telling them, said, I don't even know who you're talking about. I don't know the man. And when he said that, and the cop crew, he made eye contact with the Lord Jesus. And what do you think Peter saw when he looked at the Lord Jesus? What do you think Peter saw when he looked? I think he finally saw himself. I think God had got him to the place where he saw Peter for who he really was. Helpless. Totally helpless. Without God. I mean, you know, as long as we are surrounded with fellow people of God, you know, we feel pretty secure. But you get outside the realms of the church, you get outside the realms of the fellow believers, and you get out here into this world, and they begin to point the finger at you, you're one of them, you're a child of God, then I'm telling you what, if you ain't got the Holy Spirit of God, you'll be in the same shape that Peter was in. The first day we went to the truck stop, the very first day, when I started holding chapel service, and I walked in, and I'll be honest with you, I was kind of proud to be there. The first man I talked to told me, he said, I want to tell you something right now. I don't believe in God. I'm not coming in there. Don't expect me to come in there. First one. I mean, shot me right out of the saddle to begin with. Lord, what have I got myself into? If we're doing it in the flesh, we're going to fall just like Peter did. But this man here,
is a different man in the book of Acts. Back in the book of Acts, I want you to look at in chapter number 2. Look in chapter number 4 and verse number 8. It says, then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, you rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus of Nazareth, whom ye crucify. Notice this now. This same man that had wilted before a little servant girl is standing here pointing his fingers in the very people's faces that crucified the Lord and said, you are the ones that done it. You are the ones that crucified the Lord of glory. You are the one that put him on the cross. Here's a different man because he had been filled with the Holy Ghost of God. He had been emptied of himself, and now he's filled with the Holy Ghost of God. And that's the reason that churches are in the shape they are in today, because the people are so full of themselves and so full of the world, that they have no room of God in their life. We cannot function as a church of God without the Holy Ghost of God. A man of God cannot preach the Word of God without the Holy Ghost of God. You can't separate the two. You kid yourself if you try. Peter was a totally different man because he had been broken. He had been sifted. He had been emptied. When he went outside that night and poured his heart out to God, those tears that was coming out of him was nothing but Peter himself. He was pouring out the old nature. He was pouring out the old man. He was pouring out self-reliance. And when he got to that state, then the Holy Ghost of God could fill him. If we're ever going to be able to be a light in this world, if where God has placed us, we're going to have the Holy Ghost as our fuel. We see where throughout the Word of God, where when God got ready for the Word of God, for the gospel to go out into this world, He filled the people beforehand and sent him out into the world. Did he not tell these disciples? He says, I'm going back to heaven, but I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to send you another comforter. And he's going to be not just with you, but he's going to be in you. And I want you to go to Jerusalem, and I want you to wait until you are endued with power. Go there and wait. Don't go out here preaching without the Holy Spirit. Don't go out there trying to preach in the flesh. You wait till the Holy Ghost of God comes. And then in chapter 2 of Acts, verse number 8, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost of God. And then they began to preach with power. They began to be used of God. God was able to get the work done because He was using these instruments for His glory. And that's all we are. It's just an instrument in the hand of God to be used of God to get the gospel to this lost and dying world. When I go to the truck stop, all I am is a vessel to be used by God. Just as John the Baptist said, I am just a voice. I am God's voice. That's all I am. But boy, you look on TV, you listen to the radios, and you let these folks tell you what they are. They are everything. God is not within 100 miles of that junk. Folks, I just want to encourage you tonight. Welcome All Baptist Church needs the Holy Ghost. We do. I'm not knocking, Brother Tommy, I'm not knocking this church. But we are not there yet. When we come tonight to this altar, let's be honest with God and plead with God to help us get those things out of our life that's hindering the Holy Ghost work in us. Brother Tommy, I think I'm through. I just want this church to know that I love you. And I appreciate every one of you. Y'all mean so much to me and my wife. We're so grateful for what y'all have done for us in the ministry. We couldn't do it without the Holy Ghost. And I beg you to continue to pray for us that we'll remain faithful and we'll look to Him.